Howdy. It's into the night. David Cotton on Sign-On Radio. Thanks for joining me, as always. Got a great show for you today, beginning with the diva from the San Diego Reader, Barbarella. Later on, more sordid tales from Ed Decker. And in between, all kinds of unpredictability and nonsense. So please stay with us. I mentioned Barbarella. Let's talk about today is Thursday, of course. That means the San Diego Reader is on the stands.
Woo!
And that means, you know, I read the Reader. I look at the ads. I look at those plastic surgery ads. Yes, I do. And breast enhancement and so on. So does Lou. But I do read it.
But you like the before pictures, which is very strange.
Yes, that's right. The before pictures kind of turn me on. And not everybody knows that. But what really turns me on is Diary of a Diva, which is written by the young lady on my right, Barbarella. Tell us how Diary of a Diva came about. Yes.
Hello. Yes. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now behind the door.
Tell us how this came about.
I was a blogger. And I blogged daily, and you okay?
I heard a phone ringing.
It's not mine.
It could be me. Anyway, go ahead.
It's the last guy in here, Bernie Jones. He did it.
Somebody has a cell phone in the studio. I told you we would have
unpredictability. Oh, we're getting calls. This is great.
Cool.
I blogged, and I just blogged about my life, and I talked shit about my coworkers and people that upset me, and basically every morning I would get on the computer before work, and I would clear my mind and just write whatever was on the top of my mind. I'd usually start with a quote and just sort of a clearing my mind exercise. And one day I got an email from Jim Holman of The Reader, said, "Oh, we saw your blog. Are you interested in being published?" And, I thought it was a joke. So I Googled the name. I thought people were making fun of me because I talked about wanting to have my own column. And it turned out there was truly a man named Jim Holman. And he was for real. And so, of course, I said yes. And very quickly transitioned into just having my own column. They published a selection of my blogs. So they said, choose 30 of your favorite. And this was 4 years ago. They put my face on the cover, had a selection of blogs. And then after that, I guess from the reaction, I don't know, on their end, they just said, you want to keep writing for us? And I said, yeah, because being a paralegal sucks sometimes.
So you weren't brought in originally to do a column every week. They knew you had this body of work.
Yes.
And they published that.
Exactly. They said, we like what we've seen. Choose from this. We'll publish this. And then the very next thing that happened is they said, okay, it was sort of a test. You know, Jim said, go get on a game show for a cover story. Go get on a game show and write about it. Don't care what one. Let's just see. And 2 weeks later, because I was on a sort of paid leave of absence from my work, which wasn't very happy with the the things that I had said, even anonymously.
And you wrote about that they weren't happy.
Yes, but everything else, the terms of my leaving are confidential now. But so in that 2 weeks of paid leave of absence, I went up to L.A. a couple of times, tried to get on The Price is Right, and I turned around, did that What About Bob cover story thing, and Jim said, this is what we were hoping for. Then they put me on the music scene. So it actually took a few months for me to get my column. He just said, hey, you want to do a column? And we came up with different names. My sister, Heather, actually came up with Diary of a Diva. I wanted Barbarella's Pillow Talk because I used to say my breasts were my pillows. And that was my blog name, Barbarella's Pillow Talk. And but the alliteration went out, Diary of a Diva. And Diva, that was the first time I'd ever been referred to as that. And it's funny because now it's sort of taken on the part of my name. My website now is Diva Barbarella, so it's just weird.
I have a whole new appreciation for pillows now.
Right. They're dirty pillows. That's what I used to call them, too.
Dirty pillows.
Yeah.
In terms of your subject matter, again, for people who haven't started to read you yet, after the show, everybody will.
Yes.
Where do those ideas come from?
Life. And this is the thing. I am not good at writing fiction. So everything I do, especially the crazy off-the-wall stuff, I write about my family. We're a neurotic, crazy bunch from the East Coast. I write about myself. I'm neurotic and anal, kind of uptight about certain things and really high maintenance about others. But, it's just across the board. It's just life. So whatever happens... my hard drive crashes. Okay, there's a story because it's high drama. I can't fit into a dress. Oh, no. There you go. There's a story. Or somebody pisses me off. And that's a great story. Rants are great. Those are the best blogs.
That happens regularly, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, because people irritate this It's horrible of me to say.
People are irritating.
They are. And I can be irritating, too, but I try not to be, and therein lies the difference. I'm not oblivious to my irritating characteristics. I try not to be.
You know what Jerry Seinfeld said? He said, people, they're the worst. And
right.
I think he was right.
Right. I agree.
Your husband, by the way, not
yes.
to transition
no,
in that way.
No, speaking of the best.
The best. Your husband is makes frequent appearances in your column.
Yeah, every single one, because he's my rock. So basically, the way my column works is I'm the crazy nutcase, okay? I'm like the Kramer or whatever. I'm just or the Elaine, as you're talking about Seinfeld, the one who's constantly getting into trouble. And David is sort of, I mean, he's just the calm, sensible one. He's the one in the background going, oh, hi, you're crazy, and pulling me out of it. So he's got to be there because he's the balance. If we are a comedy team, he's the straight man, you know?
And let's give him a plug. He's a very fine artist.
He is, yeah. David Focus, F-O-K-O-S. His show's here at Bartram Gallery in La Jolla, but he's a fine art photographer, which is why I get to travel. So I've written about going to Japan and not being able to eat any fish because I don't like fish. And the only reason I was able to write about that is because David had a show in Tokyo of his work, and I got to go to Japan.
What was it like transitioning from pure blogging to print?
Editing. You know, when I blogged, I never looked at my words twice. It was blah, and then I just published it, and I didn't care because I didn't think anybody was reading. And now I try to actually have an arc. There's always a story. Blog was very stream of consciousness, sort of, I'm over here, and now I'm over there, and look, there's an animal, and oh, I thought about this yesterday, and this grape tastes good. I mean, it just makes no sense. And now I focus on a sort of one subject or a story, and it's tighter, and I, you know, try to edit it.
Well, speaking of editing, aside from yourself editing, what's it like being edited by an editor now? That's something you never had to do when you were blogging.
It's not. At first, it was hard. It was really hard. And I mean, and David can tell you this, I lived on that one-word response. Jim and Judith, may she rest in peace, who originally found me, they would give me back one word, great, or could be better, or okay. And that word was my mood for the following week. It was, if it was okay, I'm just okay, and I can't do any better, and I would be depressed for a whole week. And if they said, good job, I was like that. But when they tried to change things, I learned very quickly, because I'm always trying to strive for improvement, you know, just in general in life. I'm a people pleaser, despite my bitchiness, you know. I just want people to like me. And it's true, you know, like despite me having my opinions, I want to be liked. And if they tried to change it at first, I learned not to hold on to that because I wanted to be better. And I thought if I change this, maybe I can improve. And I wasn't so attached, like, I'm a good writer, I write already. I don't think that. I still don't think that. You know, I read too much to think that.
Now, you're an observer. You have to be to do what you do. How do you observe the world around you in a way that the average person does not?
I don't notice things. I mean, you could paint this wall a different color while I'm sitting here, and I wouldn't notice. So I don't notice objects in rooms, but I notice people, and I notice the micro expressions and how people act, and I try to assume what they're thinking and what I would be thinking if I were to say those things. So I observe people based on what I presume their intentions are. So if you say something, you've got an intention behind it, you know? Oh, is it music happening at me?
That's telling us to take a break. So if I say shoehorn...
What? I can't read your lips back there, man. All right?
Go ahead.
An intention. If you offer information about yourself, there's something else you're trying to say. You know what I mean? You're trying to say, this about me. This information says this about me. And that's how I watch people. It helps me find out what's important to them.
We'll be back.
Woohoo!
With more of this wisdom... for Barbarella. Don't go away.
Don't raise your brows.
We're back on End of the Night. David Cotton, thank you for joining me. I'm here with Barbarella from the San Diego Reader.
Hello.
Yes, you can say hello again.
Hello.
Hello. Can you get your voice even lower than that?
Hello.
Pretty sensual. Huh? Gonna put her on the air. Take my job. You can have it.
I had a different job before this.
What was your?
I had to say hello.
Oh, you did.
No, I interviewed for a job like that, but I couldn't do it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I used to, when I first started in radio, I was working at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would answer the phone like that. Because I got so few phone calls that I thought, well, it's my few chances to play seducer.
Right.
So I would answer.
You just dial randomly. There's a chance every day in the phone book.
Yeah. You know, what a lot of people don't know about you, I didn't even know about this myself until a little while ago, is that you are, we know you're opinionated, duh.
Right.
But that you have very strong thoughts about etiquette.
Right.
And about human behavior. I'm not saying you're mismanners, God forbid.
No, but I break it, but I still know what the rules are.
You do. And so I want to kind of throw some of this at you and see what you think, because Lord knows I need to learn some of this stuff if I'm going to function in polite society.
Yes, the Lord does.
Let's start with, it's summertime. It's summertime, and this is the tail end of wedding season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just were in a wedding.
I was.
Tell us a little bit about that.
My younger sister got married.
Tell us a little about it. You had some problems with that role. Were you maid of honor?
No.
I was
a bridesmaid.
Okay.
Well, no, it wasn't the problems with the role. It was problems with
the dress.
In my column this week, you can read about the fact that I waited until the week before the wedding, drunk on a bottle of wine and stuffed on about a pound of cheese, to try alone. David was out of town, to go up into the closet and try on this dress. Didn't come close to fitting. I got stuck in it. It was up over my head, and I was bawling like a baby and drunk all night. So the following morning, I tried to back out of the wedding. You know, I said, I can't be a bridesmaid. I'm too fat. I gained a bunch of weight. It's not going to fit. It's not going to work. So, of course, I freak out the bride, because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, like, freak her out. She doesn't have enough to think about. Like, just, you know, mess up her day. A friend came over, though, and pointed out that there's no way this dress ever fit me, because it was 5 inches from closing. And that if it had fit me, then none of my other clothes would fit me. It turned out that when I'd gone back to get this thing on sale, I picked up 2 sizes too small. And I was trying to squeeze my ass into that.
Yeah.
Wasn't happening.
And this dress was designed by UPS, right?
You're right. Oh, it's brown. No, it wasn't designed, but it's iridescent espresso, David.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And actually, it was complimentary to my, you know, pale, milky complexion. But yeah, no, it's brown.
I think that's a new flavor at Starbucks, iridescent.
Pale milk. Yeah, iridescent espresso and strawberries and cream. It went great with me. And my red shock of clown hair.
Well, it's... Never mind. That aside, let's talk about weddings, because we all get invited to them. Some of us even have them.
Some of us do.
You had one.
No, I did not. I eloped. I went to the county, signed a piece of paper, and I was pissed that they forced me through the ceremony.
So if your husband would come to you in, say, 5 years and say, honey, let's renew our vows and do it in a wedding situation, what would you tell him?
He wouldn't, because I know him well enough. He wouldn't, and we wouldn't.
Is your mother still alive?
Yes.
So what if she was, you know, I don't want to say dying wish. I don't want to wish that on your mother. But let's say your mother begged and pleaded with you to give her a wedding to attend with you in full
regalia. It wouldn't happen, because she's respectful of that. Now, I gave my mother a reception in that I said, look, we didn't tell anybody. Half of my friends found out from reading my column that I even eloped. It was not a big deal. We only got married for practical reasons. But it was important to her. My mom is, you know, big-time Italian Catholic from New York. You know what I mean? Like, this is her thing. You know, and she only had 4 daughters, so she needed it 4 times. So, I let her do a reception where we announced to the family, by the way, David and I got married, because it wasn't important to us, but we recognized it was important to her. And that, speaking of etiquette and manners, it's just a sort of, if something's important to her, as long as it doesn't compromise you, then it's okay. But if it compromises something integral to you, like to do a wedding, to do a church wedding, for example, I'd be lying. If I had to stand in front of a church and say vows I didn't believe that were gaudy and everything, that would be a lie to me. I wouldn't do that. I don't care who's dying.
Well, speaking of a church wedding, I asked you this off mic earlier as a sample etiquette question. If you are invited to a wedding, a church wedding, and then a reception at another site, is it all right to not go to the church wedding and go just to the reception?
Absolutely not. You're invited to the reception is the party you get to go to as a reward for attending the wedding. You know, that's the fun part. If it's a church wedding, my sister Heather had a full hour mass. You know, not everybody's deal, especially if you're not Catholic. And I went to one, but it's rude to show up for the party and allow the celebration if you weren't there for the thing to be celebrated. And it's touching to, you know, that's what's important to them. That's the important event. You know, it's not come have dinner for free. It's come. We want you there. to share in this special moment to us. You know, David and I weren't like that. We didn't, you know, it wasn't our special moments every day, so that wasn't a deal to us. But I get it, you know?
Another wedding question. If you are a woman attending a wedding.
If I was a woman, okay.
Well, you are.
Try really hard. I got quite a set.
If I were a woman.
All right.
this is a stretch. If I were a woman attending a wedding, is it okay for me to wear a white dress, B,
no.
a black dress?
I don't think there's anything wrong. I feel like I'm wearing all black today, so that's tough
because
that
not
crosses
a
over. No, but that's my entire wardrobe. But I have worn black to weddings, but it depends on the cut. You know what I mean? If it's a dress, I don't think there's anything wrong. If you're wearing a black veil, like an old Greek woman, you know what I mean? Then
that's
yeah, it's
cool.
Kind of like I'm in mourning. This wedding should never have taken place, you know, kind of thing. It's all with taste. If you're wearing a cute little open-toed shoes, like, you know, look, I'm talking to you about this. Like, you know, David, your cute open-toed shoes.
Oh, yeah, the ones
with
in
your
the back
pedicure
of my closet. Yeah,
and
right.
the dress. I know you've got the lace panties. I don't know about the dress. But, you know, if you have that, that's cool. But to wear white is a no-no. I've seen that too.
People are finding out way too much about me today, thanks to you. Or you're outing me as a lace panties owner.
Oh, you use the word outing, which gives a bit of verisimilitude to what I have said. You like that word?
Yeah. I can't spell it, but I've heard it before. Let's talk about gifts.
Yes.
When this is not just
you
weddings.
Have a year to give a gift to the wedding.
Okay, now. You have a year to give a gift. What about, this isn't just for weddings.
Okay.
This is for birthday parties, whatever. When someone says in the invitation, no gifts, does that really mean no gifts?
It does. And I think that is the classiest way to go about anything. You know, to say please no gifts and really not want a gift, it's because the thing is there's so many parties, and I have issues with this anyway. Like, I haven't done an article about this because I'm going to offend all of my friends and family with my opinions. But I have issues with inviting people to something where gifts are assumed. Yes, there's the baby shower thing. I'm not having kids, so it's easier for me to say I'm not into that. Where you need stuff, and the whole reason for the party is for the presents. And as long as you don't pretend it's not that case, then I'm cool with that. As long as you say, look, I'm having a party because I want your presents, then if you show up, you're bringing a present. But I turned 30 last year, and I said no gifts on there. And I didn't want any because I wanted those people to be there to celebrate with me. And I didn't want them to feel obligated. And that's part of etiquette. It's etiquette to not want anybody to feel obligated to have to give you stuff, you know? And it does mean that. And if people say it and don't mean it, then they're the ones who have an issue.
Well, what about the people who bring gifts anyway? I mean, is there anything wrong with that?
No, there's nothing wrong with that because the obligation wasn't there. And if there is a friend, and I've had that. I said no gifts before, and I had a friend say, look, I got this for you anyway because it means something for me to give this to you, and then I appreciate it, and I say thank you, and this was thoughtful. And then the tension and the pressure and the obligation is all gone because they really did that because they wanted to. I also don't really believe in gifts for birthdays. You know, If I want to get something for somebody, I get it for them. David and I rarely do birthday gifts, and we don't do Christmas. We don't do those obligatory, you know, it's this day, find something for me, because that doesn't mean anything. You know, it's like this is something that I wanted to get for you because I know you well enough that this made me think of you, and it gives me pleasure to give it to you. That's a true gift.
Okay, let's move off of weddings and go to dating. Which is something.
Something I do all the time, even though I'm married.
I've done my share over the years.
Slut.
And I'm curious. I need somebody to verify and clarify these things for me because I don't know what's going on, obviously. The first question I have is the first few dates, man and woman or whatever, paying the check. How should that go?
How should that go? Okay, the general rule is the person who asked somebody else out, if you invite somebody to dinner, there is an assumption that you are paying because you've done the inviting. However, I still think it's proper for the other person to reach for the wallet and be willing to carry it through if it's not objected against.
Do women still expect men to, A, open the door of the car for them, B, pull their chair back for them?
I don't think they expect them to, but it's nice when they do. When I first met David, he's the first person to consistently, and still does, opens every door for me, but we have a different alternative kind of relationship. He sort of has to. He's my slave, you know? So, but no, oh, don't shake your head. No, that's an okay thing. There was Pride weekend. We count two. But I think it's nice when they do. And if you're traditional in that way, it's just sort of a courtesy thing. But there are some women who'd be offended, so it's a tough call. I wouldn't, because if a woman opened a door for me, I would be appreciative.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Let's talk about when
I just wanted to tell my gentleman story where I did open a door for a woman once and she got angry.
Yeah, that offends me. And I mean, to get angry at that, it's like, you know, come on, let go of
it. We were
What's
going in at the same time, and I'm just used to doing that. I'm old school. I'm, you know, I'm open doors and that kind
if
of stuff.
Even if it was a man, though, if you're going in at the same time, if you're a kind person, you'd open the door, right?
I do that anyway, yes.
Yeah.
But I told her, I said, I'm not opening the door because of your gender. I'm opening the door because I'm a gentleman, and she shut up right away. She didn't say
good
anything
for you
else.
Yeah, people like that, people who are all butthurt about all this stuff, like, oh wow, you're compromising my femininity or my strength by doing this. They just need to get over that, because that's just stupid.
Well, let's talk about one of my favorite subjects, kissing on a date.
You were such a little girl. You were like, oh, you're 15 and female. I had and your favorite subject is kissing on a date.
Well, it's my favorite.
We can practice on our wrists right now, David. I've
no,
got some extra red lipstick.
On the pillow.
My tits? No, I don't think so.
Not
those pillows. Okay.
Where was I going with this? I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, kissing. Is there still an expectation about when a couple can first kiss when they start dating?
No, this is even a very old-fashioned question, I think. There's no expectation. Everybody's so individual. It's so across the board. I mean, some people fuck on the first date. You know, I can say that, right? Right? I mean,
you just did.
Just did. Well, I don't know if you're bleeping me back there. No, there's no issue with that whatsoever. I mean, the thing is, I have found out that if you don't have sex right away, it's easier to maintain a long relationship. Kissing is like nothing.
Okay, what about kissing with tongue?
Oh, no, you did not.
Is that okay on the first date?
If people are having sex on the first date, why wouldn't that be okay?
No, this is not in a...
not even a date. I met a guy in a club once. No, just kidding.
This is not in the act of sex. This is just at the door. You know, good night, honey.
Well, if you're doing a peck at the door, it's awkward to slip the tongue. I mean, that's just kind of like, ew, your tongue is in my mouth. We just ate. It tastes nasty. Like, ew. I think if you're doing a polite kiss, then it would be a kiss on the thing. If it gets hot and heavy, as far as I'm concerned, if you go tongue, you're going farther than that.
Okay. Here's
but
one
then
that,
again, I'm not easy.
Here's one that we know that. Here's one that men, our male listeners especially, will want to know the answer to. First date, everything goes fine. When should you call the woman?
And you know what? David called me the next day. There's no when. These rules, I have a friend who, when she was dating, it drove me crazy because the rules, like, when should you do this? Go with how you feel. The whole when thing, there are no rules for that. And if you're following the rules instead of how you feel, you're already messing up.
No wonder I got problems. That's Barbarella from
Thank
the San Diego
you.
Reader. Don't go away. We're just going to push you down the couch. And
right.
And you can jump
it's
in.
It's going to take two of you.
And use your pillows.
Right.
We can let you...
You like that one, huh?
We can let you bother Ed Decker when
can
he gets
I?
In here. Yes.
Can I? Is that Ed right there?
That's Ed right there.
Hi, Ed.
Ed's going to be with us in just a moment. Don't go away. This is Into the Night on Sign On Radio.